Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself, because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you, because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome to episode 9 of Fantasy Bites. I'm your host, Joe Bartle. We're back with another episode of our Keeper Dynasty series, this time outlining the three biggest question marks for the rookie running backs following the NFL draft. Jerry Donabedian steps in to break it all down, as well as give his insight into a couple other notable question marks at the position entering 2020. Without further ado, enjoy.
Number 3.
All right, Jerry, in your opinion of this rookie draft class, what's the third most important thing for fantasy owners to keep in mind of?
Well, the number 3 thing I'm watching is with Cam Akers in Los Angeles. I really want to see how he looks on passing downs, not just as a receiver, but also as a blocker. I think Sean McVay, even when he had Todd Gurley at his best, you know, he favored the passing game, tended to use the running game more to close things out. So I think for Cam Akers, like, the key, you know, the guys competing against, they aren't the greatest runners, but they have some experience in the offense. Darrell Henderson, explosive in open space. So if Cam Akers looks good on passing plays, I think he'll have some leeway to kind of earn his stripes as a runner.
I mean, the Rams drafted Akers in the second round this year for a reason. They invested significant draft capital, especially when they have so many other areas on their team, offensive line, namely, that they could have probably drafted for instead. So it's clear that they find him important. It just could be a matter of how important it is relative to their third round pick last year in Henderson, who many thought would also break out.
Yeah, I think now, you know, with more teams embracing analytics and the first round running backs increasingly being a rarity, like Akers going around 50th overall, I mean, that's significant draft capital. It's almost the equivalent of like first round draft capital for a higher priority position. So, yeah, you know, when you say, you can say the same thing with Swift, Dobbins, all these other guys. It's like, if a team's using a second round pick on what it considers to be one of the least important positions, that means they've got big expectations for the guy.
So obviously the Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift, Dobbins, who we'll talk about later on, I feel like they're kind of cemented among the top four if you were to do a dynasty draft right now from just these rookies, especially the running back class. Is Akers number 5 out of this group, whether he does well in the passing attack or not?
Yeah. I have Akers at a solid number 5. I would probably put him like closer to 3-4 than I would to 6, which I guess would be probably Keyshawn Vaughn, who we'll actually get to later. But I think that I like Akers as a prospect. I think you look at his college numbers, he averaged like 4.9 per carry. Usually we would say that's like not NFL material. You know, you want your guys in the NCAA to be up around 5.5, 6. But when you look at the teams he played on, the Florida State teams, they had terrible blocking, poor quarterback play. Like, they knew that Akers was getting the ball, and he was still able to put up a decent level of production and 2,000-yard seasons. And now you look, he's in an offense where we know that the running backs can have some opportunities in the passing game. And we know that there's, you know, even if the team's not great, there's going to be some level of touchdown scoring. Like, I don't think the offense is going to just totally implode. So the big question for me is, like, is Akers the one getting those opportunities? I do think there's going to be some like points to go around for the backfield in the Rams this year. I don't think the offensive line can possibly be as bad as it was last year.
Let's project the best case scenario with Akers before we wrap it up and assume that he does take on some of the pass catching role and also is a pretty fluent runner and really ends up surpassing Henderson in every way. Where would he be in like a redraft rankings right now for like if all those best case scenarios happened for Akers?
Well, I mean, if you're talking about the best case scenario is that he comes in, he looks like a beast, and you know, Sean McVay's like, I don't want Malcolm Brown or Darrell Henderson on the field. This guy's better. And I think he does have that upside to come in and have like a three down, you know, 80% snap share type role if he looks really good. So you could argue, you know, in that, in terms of just like 2020 ceiling, he probably has a higher ceiling than in terms of non-injury scenarios. Obviously everyone has a high ceiling if all their teammates get hurt, but in terms of non-injury scenarios, I actually think he has like a higher ceiling than someone like J.K. Dobbins. Like Dobbins, if he looks awesome, Ingram is still going to get, you know, 8 carries per game, even if he's the second guy. Whereas if Akers comes in and he kills it, it's like Malcolm Brown, Darrell Henderson, those guys haven't proven anything. Like, we don't know, you know, if they get outplayed considerably, they can just disappear from the offense. So best case scenario is like, you know, a dozen touchdowns and 1500 plus yards and 50 catches. That's, to be clear, that is not what I expect. You know, my money would be on some form of committee. I think Akers will end up leading the backfield in touches, but, you know, I think it'll be more like I think all three guys are going to get at least 100 touches this year.
I mean, you mentioned Dobbins, that, and that's fine. I think, like, best case scenario this year, Akers has a better opportunity than even DeAndre Swift, who I think is a much better prospect. But I'm not going to go ahead and put him in front of Edwards-Helaire or Jonathan Taylor, but if you're just saying this season, and I could see him even being higher fantasy potential wise than a lot of guys drafted before him. It's really just Edwards-Helaire and Jonathan Taylor above him.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. Same. I think on Swift, it's, you know, it's a little less close for me, but I think I take Swift because I think I like his floor a little bit better than Akers. Partially because I just think he's a better prospect and partially because I really see him competing against one guy rather than two. And I think the Lions offense will be a little better than the Rams, but yeah, you're right. Like, you know, Kerryon Johnson, if he's healthy, he's going to have some level of involvement. I mean, we've seen since Matt Patricia took over the Lions, he's brought in guys like CJ Anderson, LeGarrette Blount. Like, he's always wanted there to be at least two guys, if not three, getting snaps in the backfield. When you consider Kerryon Johnson is still young, he's a second round pick and he's looked pretty decent, more so his rookie year than his sophomore year. But yeah, he's, you know, if he's healthy, he's going to be involved. That's not to say Swift won't overtake him as the lead guy, but like, yeah, I don't, if the Detroit backfield's healthy, I don't see either of those guys having like every down workhorse type potential.
Number two.
Okay. So from this rookie running back class, what's the number two or second most important thing in your opinion?
So the second most important thing for me is Keyshawn Vaughn and whether he can win that lead job this year. Because when I look at him, he's got, of all these rookie running backs, I guess you'd say Akers has similarly weak competition for the starting job. But Vaughn and Akers, you know, they've got the weakest competition within their own backfields. They don't have a Damian Williams, a Mark Ingram, a Kerryon Johnson, someone with like draft pedigree or recent success. And I think with Keyshawn Vaughn, he's not someone I really like as a prospect. You know, he doesn't have great speed. He wasn't a great pass catcher in college. He wasn't an early breakout guy. Like, he sort of checks boxes in a bunch of regards, but he doesn't, there's nowhere where he really makes you say, wow, where I feel like he really excels. And so a prospect like that, you kind of, I worry, my concern is that if he doesn't beat out Ronald Jones this year, that we kind of will just never really hear from Keyshawn Vaughn. That'll kind of just be like one of these guys who lingers around as a number two running back. That if he can't step up and beat Jones this year, then either, you know, A, Jones will take off and he'll be, you know, the next big thing, or B, they'll bring in a new guy next year to compete with both of them. So I think it's sort of, I see some of these other guys like Swift, Dobbins, Taylor, Edwards-Helaire. I think if they're not good this year, if they don't do a lot this year, I think they'll still do a lot next year and the year after. For Vaughn, I'm like, now or never.
I'm pushing up my fantasy glasses right now really high. I'm doing my nasally voice. But Keyshawn Vaughn can block. He can block better than Ronald Jones, right? I mean, that's what everyone was all about when he got drafted, even though Jones was, you have to imagine, the more talented guy, at least based off the combine tape, and is, I think, younger than Keyshawn Vaughn, too. Like, there's a lot of things going against Keyshawn Vaughn for an opportunity to start. Most importantly, the fact that he's going to be in a backfield with the legendary Tom Brady. And if there's any mistakes that happen, whether it be pass blocking or miscommunication or anything like that, why would Brady, but also Bruce Arians, want to put up with it? When we saw last year, he didn't put up with Ronald Jones or OJ Howard making mistakes, even though their talent level was obvious.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, the who knows how good of a, any rookie is as a pass blocker. And I think it's one of those things where it's like, first of all, the number of the sample that you're working with is so tiny. And like for the Bucks last year, most of the running back pass blocking snaps went to Dari Ogunbowale, not to Jones or Peyton Barber. But yeah, it's such a small sample. And really, it's like, it's hard to measure. It's like, it's more about not screwing up your assignment more so than it is about being a great blocker, right? Like usually when the running back is taking on that blitzer, you don't need him to throw a standout block. You just need him to identify the blitzer and be sort of in his way in some capacity. What really hurts a team is a guy who just whiffs on his block and lets his quarterback get killed. And I don't really know how you measure that ahead of time. You kind of just have to see how it plays out. So, yeah, I'm certainly not burying Keyshawn Vaughn, because, like, Ronald Jones might be a little bit better as a prospect. But, you know, through 2 years in the NFL, he's looked, whatever, okay. So he's not the most intimidating competition. But, yeah, I guess my point is that neither of these guys is all that exciting for me, but I, you know, one of them is going to end up getting a bunch of carries in an offense that has all these receivers, Tom Brady, a quarterback, Bruce Arians. So there should be some touchdowns there for the taking, right?
You would have to imagine. And I agree with you. I think this is a pretty important battle to watch. I think it matters more for Ronald Jones than it matters for Keyshawn Vaughn, because you kind of identify it. If Vaughn doesn't succeed for whatever the reason, isn't able to capitalize on probably his best chance to be able to make a difference at the NFL level, at least early on in his career, that either opens the door for a guy like Ronald Jones to be value. And I was all over Ronald Jones last year and that didn't end up working out. But also, if you were just to be drafting these rookies, he's probably a top 14. Keyshawn Vaughn is probably a top 14 pick right now, which you could almost entirely waste if he's not able to stave off Ronald Jones in any capacity or really carve out a value of his own. So it's a sneaky important time for Keyshawn Vaughn, because we know what the Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift, like those guys have a certain pedigree that comes with them. And we are all aware of him entering the year. I wouldn't say the same for Keyshawn Vaughn, but he's in arguably one of the best fantasy situations out of any of these guys, if he's able to get the starting job. But we just don't know if is the question mark.
Right. Yeah. It's like, I think for both those guys, it's like their future very much hinges on what they do this year. It's kind of, on a different note, like the Raiders with Mariota and Carr at quarterback. It's like both those guys, I think, are going to get a shot to play this year, unless Carr really knocks it out of the park early. But based on his history, it's probably not the thing that I expect to happen. But I think, you know, if one of them doesn't step up, I think they'll both be gone next year. And it could be the same with the Bucks running backs. Maybe not gone, because they'll both be on rookie contracts, but it could be like, you know, whoever the hot free agent on the market is, you know, the Bucks could be the team that's like jumping out to sign them, or taking on like a contract dump with like a Le'Veon Bell or whatever it is. So I think neither of these guys is like, they don't have the capital committed to them or the commitment from the team. So it's, yeah, now or never.
Well, this is off topic, but I'm still surprised Devonta Freeman hasn't been signed by the Buccaneers. He feel like he'd make perfect sense as the James White, if they are to kind of bring over that New England offense to Tampa Bay. And even if you look at the free agent class of running backs, we've just very noticeably seen Dalvin Cook demand an extension, which is probably unlikely. There's a number of guys in the next year or two that are young backs who have been proven at the NFL level who might just not get paid by their team. So it's very possible the Bucks could go in that direction. I think you're right.
Yeah. Well, there was that the one draft class had, Dalvin Cook, Kareem Hunt, Alvin Kamara, Aaron Jones. I think that if you look at like the way that we talk about rookie running backs now, like I think that especially Hunt and Kamara coming in as third round picks, who were thought to be backups and being like instant RB1s in fantasy, that's sort of like, I almost like fantasy markets have not readjusted since then. Like our expectations of rookie running backs have stayed sky high. But since that year, I guess it would have been 2017, like that hasn't, they haven't really lived up to expectations. Saquon, obviously, but that's a number two overall pick we're talking about, and like a once every 10, 20 years type athlete. So yeah, I think if, you know, next offseason, if you're a team that needs a running back, it would be a good time, because I think Kamara will get his extension, but I think, you know, like Jones, Cook, those guys have had some injury issues. Their teams have good backups. Like, at least one or two of those guys is going to get to free agency. I'd imagine Kareem Hunt isn't going to want to sign a long-term deal to be Nick Chubb's backup forever either.
No, I agree with you. And I think they're more talented than maybe the Melvin Gordons of the world. And Le'Veon Bell is probably a better comparison, but him having sat out the entire year, basically, I think certainly there's questions about what his talent is. I have no such reservations about Dalvin Cook or Aaron Jones, but yet I still understand why a team might not want to pay for them.
Number one.
All right, we've talked enough about the good running backs here. Let's get back to the rookies for a second. Out of this rookie draft class, we talked about the quarterbacks last week, the running backs this week. What is the most important takeaway for you after everything's unfolded and how the rookies have went to different teams? Like, what's the biggest focal point for you as a fantasy owner?
So I say this with a slight bit of bias as a Ravens fan, but the top thing that I'm watching for is to see when J.K. Dobbins goes to that lead job in Baltimore. Because I as you know, a Ravens fan, I really don't know. I wouldn't be shocked if we come out this season and Dobbins kind of has Mark Ingram's role from last year and Mark Ingram has Gus Edwards' role. I think it's more likely the other way around, where Ingram is still the lead guy and more trusted on third downs, but I'm not sure. On the other hand, like, it could be week one Dobbins lead role. It could be it doesn't happen until 2022 because Ingram's still under contract for two more seasons. He played great last year, not just running the ball, but as a blocker, as a pass catcher. He had 5 receiving touchdowns and like 25 catches. And he's, you know, one of the leaders of the team. So I really don't know what this timeline is for J.K. Dobbins, but I do know that when a team that is as analytics driven as the Ravens uses a second round pick, not only on a low priority position, but a low priority position that they don't have a need for, I know that they have huge plans for that guy. Like, they must be pretty darn sure about J.K. Dobbins to use that pick rather than picking, you know, a wide receiver, an interior lineman. There are definitely much more obvious areas of need for the team. So in one sense, that kind of hurts Dobbins. He has more competition right now. But in another sense, it shows you just how much they love him as a prospect.
Well, when you can get Devin Duvernay to fly into the third round, I mean, do you really need a wide receiver? It's very clear once again, yet again, that the Ravens were able to manipulate and work the draft better than anybody else. It's been that way, it feels like, the past 10 years. I'm not saying this as an angry Packers fan whatsoever, who really needed a wide receiver. No, nothing like that. But the Dobbins pick, I think, is huge. And I agree with you 100%. I love Jonathan Taylor as a prospect. I think he is the best running back of this class. And I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be in a great spot with the Chiefs for the next couple of years. You talk about who could be a Saquon Barkley for a fantasy rookie running back. And I think Edwards-Helaire has an opportunity. But long-term, like, best running back for multiple years, Ezekiel Elliott kind of level, Saquon Barkley kind of level, Dobbins is in a position with that Ravens offense, specifically with Lamar Jackson, to do incredible things. Ingram played great last year. He didn't have to do anything spectacular to do great things because Lamar Jackson opened up and that scheme opened things a lot. And I think Dobbins is a better athlete, can do things both pass catching and running that Ingram can't do. And you talked about it. Ingram's contract is for the next 2 years. However, they can get out of it the following year with, I think, a little under $1 million in cap penalty loss. Like, it would not be a big deal whatsoever if they traded him or cut him to really let the doors go for Dobbins.
They really, in terms of guaranteed money for Ingram, I'm pretty sure all of it or almost all of it was paid out in the first year. So like, technically they could. And I did have this thought after they drafted Dobbins. It's like, I don't think they will, because, you know, I think the team really is all in for this year and they do value having depth at running back, and Ingram's one of the team leaders. But it did kind of occur to me, like, they could just get rid of Ingram and you put the money toward like a discount pass rusher or Jadeveon Clowney. In my dreams, that won't happen. But, you know, hey, I can dream of it. But yeah, no, they're not, even though Ingram is under contract for 2 years, they're not committed. So, you know, I think it will come down to like how good Dobbins looks largely. And yeah, like we've seen with like, you know, Gus Edwards averaged like 5.1 and 5.3 yards per carry in his first 2 years. Like, playing next to Lamar Jackson is the cheat code for running back efficiency. And Ingram was up at 5 yards per carry last year. And yeah, I mean, we've seen that with other running quarterbacks too, right? Like the Cardinals, everyone besides David Johnson was up around, you know, Chase Edmonds, Kenyon Drake were up around 5 per carry. If you go back and look at those 49ers offenses of Kaepernick, I know they also had a very, very good offensive line. But they were super efficient with their running backs running, the Bills with Tyrod Taylor. It's like, if you've got that quarterback who can sell the keeper threat and he can keep the outside, you know, weak side, contained guy from crashing down on the running back, it's just, it's so helpful. It's hard for the other team to really get many tackles for loss. It's like, you might not be breaking off long plays over and over, but you're going to get, you know, a lot of threes and fours, and occasionally pop the bigger one. So yeah, if you look at what someone like Dobbins, if, you know, if Gus Edwards can put up over 5 yards per carry, can Dobbins go to 5.5 playing next to Lamar Jackson? I definitely wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah, that's right where I'm at too. And honestly, you've talked me into this last question. It is Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jonathan Taylor, and Dobbins, right? If you're doing a rookie draft, you wouldn't go crazy and take Dobbins before either one of them, or would you?
No, I would still probably put Dobbins third. For me, I have Taylor, then Edwards-Helaire, then Dobbins, then Swift. So that's, you know, I think for redraft, I'm really not too big on Dobbins, because like I said, I thought Ingram played well last year. And I think there'll be some aspect of deference to the veteran. And I just think he's still a good player. So for redraft, I think I put Dobbins at 5. But 4 to 5. But yeah, no, for dynasty keeper, I put him at 3.
Yeah, I think I'm right there too. And for me, it's Jonathan Taylor 1A and Edwards-Helaire 1B. I don't see much of a difference. And I think long-term, maybe Taylor has a better career, but Edwards-Helaire for the first 3 or 4 years is going to be in an incredibly envious situation. So those two are pretty close to one another. And then there's a drop-off at Dobbins for 3. But then there's a drop off at 4, and I think that's Swift as well. And then Akers at 5, or Vaughn at 5. Like, you could make a lot of different arguments. AJ Dillon would be in the conversation for top 5. I don't think he's quite there. But it's Dobbins was not my, I think he was my 4th one entering the draft, and he was probably one of the biggest players offensively to really gain value for me with his landing spot. A lot of players went to bad spots. I didn't like Jerry Jeudy going to the Broncos, for example. You know, a few of those other guys as well. But Dobbins really, I thought, had his value exponentially added by going to such a great offensive scheme for him.
Yeah, definitely. If you're patient, like, especially if you're a rebuilding team, and you know, you're thinking more 2021, 2022 in terms of competing for championship, it's a great spot for Dobbins. Maybe a little disappointing if you are just looking at trying to get volume this year. But, you know, for the long term, I definitely think that it's a good spot. And I also say that, like, A.J. Dillon is sort of the same, where I'm like, short term, I don't like it. But long term, like, you look at the discount that you get on him compared to the other running backs that were drafted in the second round. You know, guys with that kind of draft capital behind them tend to find their way onto the field one way or another. Whether it's the Packers trading him or trading Aaron Jones, or they just let Aaron Jones play out his contract and don't re-sign him. Or Aaron Jones moves into the Jamal Williams role. You know, like, all kinds of different things can happen. A guy with the draft capital and the talent that A.J. Dillon has, I think he's going to be getting a lot of NFL carries. Maybe not this year, but is probably in 2021. And if not, then 2022, 2023. Just like I said, second round for a running back is like the equivalent of first round in other positions. It's like a big commitment for teams to make, given like the trend toward more teams using analytics, which devalue the position.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Well, thanks for joining me today on the show. Anything you want to plug before we sign off?
No, that's about all. I've just been working on the RotoWire annual football magazine recently, so that not quite ready yet, but that should be out sometime this summer, and that'll definitely be a good read, although I'm biased.
Well, I am too, but it is one of my favorite things to look forward to every single year. I believe the NFL magazine should be, well, I know it's going to be out this summer. I was hearing rumblings that within the next 3 or 4 weeks it's possible, but I guess we'll have to stay tuned to that. I know there's a lot of different subscribers out there that are looking forward to having a little bit of NFL in their lives, especially during this dark period for sports.
Yeah, good to talk with you, Joe.
That does it for us on episode number 9 of the show. Special thanks to the Racing Pulses for lending their music, as always, as well as Jerry Donabedian for stopping by to talk some rookie running backs. Tune in next time as a special guest and I break down the rookie wide receiver class. Thanks for listening.